Bill, always a pleasure getting you on Sports in the 650. Now, Bowen Byram has been an absolute phenom this season, and we spoke to Barkley Parnetta net last week about him, and he mentioned that he might be one of the smartest, if not the smartest player he's ever had in an organization. How cerebral is this kid on the ice?
Well, guys, he's off the chart. It's hard to measure. It's hard to quantify, you know, what he's able to do, the information that he's able to process. I've said this before. I've never seen a defenseman, and I've been in this league for 22 years. I have never seen a defenseman who, when he goes in the offensive zone, either with or without the puck, he's as good as any forward, maybe the best forward for the Vancouver Giants. And when he plays in his own zone, with or without the puck, he might be the best defenseman. And that's not in any way to disparage anybody else. I've just not seen, you know, anything like him. What he can do and where he comes from, he's a bit stealth-like in the offensive zone. He has an uncanny way that if he doesn't have the puck, he'll show up in the most dangerous places, and bang, it's a shot on net, it's in the net. And when he's got the puck in the offensive zone, he's a wonderful creator. He sees the ice so well and moves it so well. And, you know, he's got a perfect coach to you know, in fact, the entire Vancouver defense has got such a green light to do all of that all the time, whenever they want, you know, in the offensive zone when the situation's right. And he's just thriving on that. I've never seen anything like it. I've been asked many, many times, who do I compare him to? And I just can't. I just have to defer to somebody else who maybe goes back further and sees, you know, sees a Scott Niedermeyer or that type of a player. But, I mean, he's one of those rare guys that first puts people in their seats and then clearly brings them out of their seats. And there's very few of those around.
And when you consider how quickly he can learn and how much he's improved through the course of these past 8 or 9 months, like, how high is the ceiling on this kid?
Yeah. Yeah, that is a question. I mean, he's so clever. I remember when he came up for 11 games as a 15-year-old, he didn't force anything. He just made everything simple. As a 16-year-old, the next year, I saw him make plays in the neutral ice area. He was more confident moving into that zone. And then now it's just 200 feet of ice is his. And I just have a feeling you guys would know this much better than I do. I just have a feeling if you put him in a National Hockey League, the right team, the right kind of game, you put him in there even this year for a game or two, he would start with pacing the play in his own zone, making the right plays, and wouldn't extend himself the way he does at this level. But having said that, when he does take and get that confidence at the National Hockey League level, that ceiling is crazy. If it's anything like it is at the Western Hockey League level, he's, you know, he'd be clearly a franchise player.
What I like about this Giants squad this year is that so many of their key players are young. And we were talking about Bowen Byram. He's draft eligible this year. He's young, but he approaches the game at a more mature level. And when you come to the playoffs here, Bill, how impressed have you been by how Bowen Byram, you know, is handling this kind of run right now, considering playoff hockey takes a whole different, you know, cost out of these young players?
Yeah. Yeah, the intensity level really, really ramps up. I remember talking to Colby Armstrong when he was playing for Red Deer in the, you know, when we were doing that series on television a number of years back, obviously, and how the intensity ramps up, how the body takes a punishment. And Byram handles it wonderfully. He says, you know what, I don't follow the internet much, he says. His grandma's all over it. but I'll tell you, just very quickly, his maturity level. We have a 16-year-old on this team, Justin Sorda, that's going to be very, very special next year, a kid that got 23 goals this year. And Byram said, you know what, it's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to keep him going. In other words, to keep him pushing, to keep him, you know, doing what he does well and you know, becoming the player that he's, you know, going to be. And I've never seen that of a 17-year-old defenseman, you know, having that kind of advice, understanding what he's going through. And this is mid-season talking to the kid that way. So He's special. He's a very mature guy. And he's got a lot of kid stuff in him, too. I had him as one of the three stars in a game this year, and he had already gone off the ice. He got a, I don't know what his penalty was, but he came out. He ran out on the ice in his slippers on and from the dressing room with his long underwear, and he got his award. He ran. I think it don't fall. But he's just a special, special kid. He comes from a very special family, too.
Chip off the old block, then, it seems. You know, what I mentioned, I like the youth of this team. You brought up Justin Sorotev's name. This kid has been unreal this year. He just turned 17 late last month. He's only played 5 games because he was injured early on. But, again, a young guy that's taken on a big role for this team. What impresses you when you're watching Justin Sorotev play? And you know what? It's going to be his turn at the draft and all the talk about him next year around this time.
Well, you don't be surprised if there is an awful lot of hype around him next year. Believe me, I honestly have to go back to Evander Kane. I remember when Evander Kane was 16 years old, and the ability to around the offensive zone, around the offensive net, to separate that one push, that one stride, and he separates, and if he doesn't separate, he drags defenders kind of with him. If you can kind of visualize what I'm saying, he at least drags defenders out of position, and he just controls what he wants to do. He wants the puck in all the key situations, but the ability to skate so hard. And separation, such a big thing in and around the offensive zone. You just don't see that with 16-year-olds the way you do with him. And then to his advantage as well, maybe as good a back pressure guy as there is. I mean, when he takes it upon himself in the offensive zone that he's got to get back into the neutral ice zone as quick as he can to back check, to get a player, to get an open man, he identifies who he's got to cover exceptionally well. He does it as good as any forward. He's 16 years old. He's not the biggest. He's probably going to fill out about probably another 20 pounds when he's done. But I'll tell you what, he's special. And one of the things for Vancouver very quickly, it's not if, it's mm-hmm. when. In the playoffs so far, you mentioned that he was hurt in the first series. He's still looking for his first playoff goal in 11 games. And it's, like I said, it's just a matter of time. And I think that might be a difference in getting over this next series against Spokane, is if a guy like him and, you know, Jaden Joseph, who's been our leading goal scorer in the playoffs, hasn't scored in the last series. So those may be two key guys looking forward. But, yeah, you're right, sort of special.
We're talking Vancouver Giants with color analyst for the Giants, Bill Williams, here on Sportsnet 650. Before we let you go, I mean, you have Bowen Byram, who's a surefire top 5 pick in this year's draft, Justin Sorotev, who could be a first-round pick in next year's draft, and he's a forward. And then you look at Trent Miner, the goalie, who by Central Scouting's North American goalie list was ranked 6th, and maybe he's more likely to go in the second or third round. But how important has he been? And when you start looking at high-level talent on every level of this team, there's a reason why the Giants are in the Western Conference Final.
Yeah, he's, you know, we haven't played in the last, obviously, number of days here. We play again tomorrow night, and he and David Tendick are such that, honestly, I had to think for a minute, who played last game? Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. it was Tendick. Well, they've been so equal, and this is what's given them such an advantage amongst other goaltenders, because it's an easy pick for the Giants coaching staff. They don't have to think, who do we put in? You just alternate. He's so focused. His position, you know, the first tenet of goaltending is let the puck hit you. Mm-hmm. And he's got that down perfectly. He won't move unless he has to. And, you know, there are some goaltenders that, just take away so much net that you're frustrated by the fact you just don't see anything. And he's able to do that. His push from one side to the other is fantastic. And the thing that a lot of people forget about goaltending, it's not just saving the puck, it's battling for it. And you seldom see him floundering. He knows where the puck is. He's never overwhelmed with, crease chaos. like flurries around the net. Do not overwhelm him. He's focused. He's in position. There's just not a lot of net to put the puck in. You know, and he's at that size that, you know, sometimes goaltenders, you know, get criticized for. You know, they want you 6'4", 6'5". And I've said all the time, they didn't want you to fight the puck. They want you to stop the darn thing. So, you know, he's I think, the second. I think he's number two in the Western Hockey League as far as goaltenders are concerned. The 6'7" kid at Medicine Hat, Sogard is number one, and he's number two, Miner's number two in North America. But this tandem is very, very special, and, you know, it's going to be important that they, you know, they play the way that they can play to get over the Spokane team.
Well, and the Spokane Chiefs, they're in town tomorrow. Game one goes at the Langley Event Center, 7:30 puck drop, a game you can listen to right here on Sportsnet 650. Quickly, before you let you go, how do the Giants stack up against the Spokane Chiefs team?
Well, you know, they won three. They lost, you know, one out of the four. They don't see them an awful lot. But very, very quickly, if I may, Spokane is on a very special roll against Portland in round one. Games three and four in Portland, they won both on the road in overtime. That gave them a 3-1 series lead. They go into Everett round two. They win the first two games in Everett. That puts that team in a massive, massive hole. So they get, you know, they never got out of it. They ended up taking them, you know, 4-1 there. So they've won four in a row on the road. That's a hot hockey club. They're coming in on a roll. And unbelievably, guys, their power play is at 48%. They're 12 for 25. I went back 25 years, and you can't find a playoff, WHL playoff team with a power play even close to that. So that's probably going to cool off. It's going to have to cool off. But it's a Spokane team that, you know, when you've won four in a row in the playoffs and they won, I think, 16 of their last 19 games, they're obviously peaking at exactly the right time. Vancouver, though, has their hands full. I love what they're doing. I love that Vancouver. Now, for me, the playoffs start now. Mm-hmm. They were expected to finish first. They checked that box. They were expected to win the playoff game against the wild card. They checked that box. Then they won against the 2-3 in the BC division, Victoria Camels winner. They won that box. It all starts for me right now.
Well, we're going to be keeping a very close eye on it tomorrow night when the Spokane Chiefs are in town for Game 1 of the Western Conference Championship Series. Bill, always a pleasure. Say hi to Dan O'Connor, to me as well, and we look forward to hearing your call right here on Sportsnet 650.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Look forward to Bick tomorrow as well.
Sportsnet 650.